This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This week's episode of Enough About Me is brought to you by Milton's, the store for men. If you're planning a trip down the aisle like I am, Dana Katz and his team at Milton's will outfit all the guys in a great suit or tux. Choose from top designer styles in the latest colors and price ranges. And with Milton's buy one, get one free suit sale, it makes much more sense to buy than rent. To make an appointment with one of their experts, call or email wedding@miltons.com. At Milton's, you'll be as comfortable in our stores as you'll be in our clothes. South Shore Plaza, Braintree, and Chestnut Hill Square, Chestnut Hill, Milton's, the store for men.
My criticism of Rich Keefe, I've had a few. My criticism of Rich Keefe is not so much Rich Keefe himself. It is that I think your show could have used an asshole in that seat. And instead you got a really nice guy. You replaced a really nice guy with a really nice guy.
He's got a little bit of
asshole.
But
he's not like an asshole.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that you and Jerry both are of the opinion that that's a necessary ingredient. And it works for you guys, so who's to say you're
an asshole?
I think you both have the ability to be one, yeah.
Who's a bigger asshole?
Oh, God, it's not even close. You've retired the trophy.
Why would you say that?
Oh, yeah, you've retired the trophy, pal.
I
know you guys think that every show needs that a little bit.
Yes.
Who's the asshole on the Midday Show?
Yeah, that's true. It's a fair question. I don't think they really
have
one.
They don't have one.
I mean, I've had some issues with those guys. But
I've
like,
heard, but,
an on-air
but you have
asshole?
Issues with a lot of people.
That's true. That's a good point. But Middays, yeah, I guess. I think that's a fair point. But I would say, I don't listen to Touch and Rich enough. I don't know. I think people think Felger's an asshole. I think it's a little overblown. But I do think that, you know, sometimes you need somebody in there just to stir up shit. That's all. It seems to be sometimes you guys all really like each other. That annoys me.
I think we do. Yeah, and I know that bugs the crap out of you.
Well, I know that you and Rich don't like each other.
Yeah, I know, right. Just like you and I don't like each other.
Well, there's a little... The other day you guys had that fight on the air. There's a little tension on the air.
Don't we all have arguments
on
the air? No,
but it felt like real life spilling onto the radio.
Yeah, sorry. I hate to break the news to you.
Do you talk to him like off the air?
Yeah.
Just the two of you?
Yeah.
Like emojis and stuff?
Yeah, pile of poop.
No,
we're not. I don't send emoji
text. Videos or
any.
Anything? No.
I haven't sent emoji text to you either. So.
I don't think so.
No, it's just words. And
do you like the
my
show
daughters
now?
Tell me, by the way, if you even punctuate, that there's some hidden meaning to punctuation, but I'm not smart enough to know that. When you text somebody.
Like a period, the end of
a
sentence?
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
But doesn't that just signify the end of a sentence?
Well, that's what I thought. But
it's more now?
Yeah, young kids today.
Yeah, no, that's too much for me. I can't keep up. But you're enjoying the show Rich?
Yeah, a lot.
More than Jerry?
Yes. It's a better show.
Why is that?
I like Jerry, as you know. I like him a lot.
He's a great guy.
A wonderful guy. I think they put him in a nearly impossible position. You're a comedian. Here, you go on the radio with these two guys and be funny.
That's a tough spot.
And oftentimes, he wasn't that funny.
Well, I think Jerry writes funnier.
Yes.
And is a funnier comedian. But I don't think...
Than radio. Radio's hard.
If you want to pick the funniest comedian in the country and put him in that spot, I still don't think it works.
No, I said it was an unfair position to put him in. I felt bad in some respects the spot they put him in. frankly, I think Keith's been funnier.
Yeah.
And he's not a comedian.
I know,
well,
I laugh.
Not that I know
yeah,
of.
Right.
Oh, you don't laugh at anybody, but, you know, he's, I think the show's been funnier.
Right.
I think we've laughed more. I think we've enjoyed it more. I think the dynamic has changed a little bit.
What is Dale Arnold, friend of Kirk Minahan for, you know, some years now,
yeah,
think when he hears Kirk Minahan do one of these things where he goes at you and goes at your show and goes at Rich? Are you thinking this guy's an asshole?
Yeah.
His heart's in the right place?
No. No, just
his
the asshole part.
His heart's in the
part.
Right place. There's some of that, right?
Just the asshole part for
are
the
you
most
thinking,
part.
What, like, why don't you ever pick up the phone and call me and say, hey, what the fuck?
I sometimes, look, as I said,
can
you
we
guys.
Text?
You, we do sometimes.
I do send periods at the end.
I know.
What does
I,
that
I
mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't quite understand why you guys think everybody has to be like you. You're really good at it, you know, and right. It's really successful. Not everybody has to be like you.
But,
not every show has to be like yours. Not every personality on the radio has to be like you or Jerry.
But there are great stories that we do, and sometimes I feel like you guys avoid them because you want to avoid them.
Well, I'm not going to touch the political stuff.
Why not?
Because I just don't think that's what our audience wants us to do.
But why?
It's what your audience wants you to do.
But why not? The other show, your competition, does none of it.
I know.
So why don't you do some of that? Because there's an audience, clearly there's an audience thirsting.
I shouldn't say never. I mean, we have occasionally dipped our toe into some things here or there.
Well, you have to now. I mean, it's impossible,
right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You're talking about race or politics?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I mean, that's...
Although, the race stuff, I think it's an uncomfortable position. I always feel like...
Because of Holly?
Well, we end up... Hey, Michael, you're the black guy. Tell us what the black guy thinks.
No, but not really.
I hate putting him in that position.
But he's a talk show host, and he's black.
I know all that.
But he's a unique perception.
Attaboy, wordsmith. Look, we've talked race issues as well.
I know.
I try not to overdo it. Like, hey, you're the token black guy on this station.
Well, I know, but
let's talk to Michael about race
you're
every
good
day.
At this. You could position that in a way where that's not done.
I hope so.
But, and I know that you care about politics, obviously. You pay attention
a lot
to it. Are you a Democrat or Republican?
I'm a registered independent, have been my entire life.
Who did you vote for this past election?
I did not vote.
What?
I do not believe that my vote for president is a binary choice between criminal and crazy. I do not believe that either one of these people should be president of the United States. For the first time in my adult life, I did not vote for president.
Would you have voted? So if it was a...
any Republican other than Trump, I would have voted.
Would you vote for a Democrat
other than Hillary?
Trump? If it was somebody like, I don't know, whoever got through, not Bernie Sanders maybe, but if a basic Martin O'Malley
maybe
sort of cookie cutter
maybe.
Democrat
yeah,
got through.
Maybe.
Have you ever voted for a Democrat for president before?
I voted for Obama once.
You did?
Yeah, because of Sarah Palin.
No, so in 2008 you voted for Obama.
I couldn't.
You voted against John McCain.
I couldn't stand the idea that McCain was going to have a myocardial infarction and Sarah Palin was going to be doing what Trump's doing and thinking about lobbing missiles into places.
But that's what I mean. Clearly you care about this stuff. But
I don't
think your audience cares about it?
I don't know.
When you think of your listener, right, who's your average listener? Who's the average Dale and Holly listener? What does he look like?
Male, 25, 54.
But I mean, he's like
40, big sports fan.
42-year-old white guy.
Probably in
right?
this town.
He's from Boston. He's a big sports fan.
Suburbs.
But you don't think he cares about like Trump and politics and all this other stuff?
Some. I think that our audience is different from your audience and that, like I said,
is that based on anything other than just gut feeling?
Just gut feeling.
Yeah.
You know, your audience, I think, not only likes it but expects it. That's the, you know, we go back to Jeff Brown stuff. So Jeff Brown actually went and told Dino and Jerry.
Oh, I know.
Don't talk about, on election day, I mean, how stupid would you have to be?
Dale, I was in, because that was a meter left and they were doing the rotating guy. I was the guy the next day after the election.
Yeah.
And they talked about Cody Ross signing with the Giants for 4 hours. And I had the text line in front of me and it was pussy, 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 asshole. You have no guts. You guys suck. You're done. You're dickless. And they finished, I think in that book, seventh. In that book. It wasn't their fault. It really actually wasn't their fault.
No, no.
I mean, there was no way they could win doing that show because they had already established who they were. You know, people were like, well, what the hell is this?
But you know what? They were making so many management decisions around here back then, it probably explains a lot about what this station was doing at the time.
So you feel like you're going to do this for how much longer? Till they kick you out?
I don't know about that. I'd like to get another contract out of it.
Yeah. And you're still with Nesson?
Yeah. I just signed a new deal there.
Were you pissed off? At the time you got fired, you gave up the play-by-play duties, right?
Yeah, I was 1 month into a five-year deal here, and I got called into Nesson, and Sean McGrail, the boss at Nesson, said, we're going to go with one play-by-play team. We want you to do the games.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, I'm a month into a five-year deal. I can't go over there and break a contract because I would expect them to uphold the contract.
Could you do that? Could you do that insane thing though? Were you doing shows from hotel rooms?
No. I'd done it before.
Right.
It doesn't
work. I know you had. Yeah.
It's bad radio.
It's impossible.
It's horrible.
Right.
At that point, I had to make a choice.
Right.
And what I said was, I've got to do the right thing. I just signed this deal. Had I known a month before.
So if you have both options available,
I would have stuck with the Bruins.
So your heart, play by play over radio.
Yes.
Really?
If you're a play by play announcer, you think of yourself as a play by play announcer forever.
Because I know I would be the best play by play guy ever.
You would suck at it so bad.
Jerry, who has no attention span.
He has zero attention span. He wouldn't have.
I could paint a picture like nobody's business, like you read about.
Oh yeah, it'd be a vision.
I'd be like Ernie Harwell.
I'm not sure that's the example you want to go with necessarily,
but you don't think doing like a 4-hour talk show is more stimulating?
I like
than play
doing
by play?
It. I do, I love doing games.
So you don't get to do them anymore.
I don't
at all. Did you fill in at all last year?
No.
So if Jack gets shingles or whatever next year and he's out for a month, you don't do any games?
They would probably ask me at that point.
So would you do that
Jack
now?
Jack doesn't get sick.
If they called you today and you could get out of this contract and sign for the same amount of money.
I only have a few months left in this contract.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, you know what I mean. If you could do it. So you do that?
I probably would.
Really?
I probably would. I don't know.
You like doing the thing where you stand in the box with Billy and Barry and do that? You like that whole thing?
Yeah, the box is a whole big thing
like
for people, isn't
How
it?
How is Dale's box?
By the way,
I shouldn't say it. Put it that way.
Yeah.
How does that not get its own parody Twitter
The box,
account?
By the way, is what? About an inch tall?
Maybe 3 inches tall.
No, not
you
mine.
You see that picture of Reese with Isaiah Thomas yesterday?
Which is exactly why, on camera, they stick me on a box.
How tall is Reese, though?
It's hard. And you know what it is? It's not for me.
Right.
It's for the camera guy.
I understand. Yeah.
And they can't get us all in the same shot. And so that's why they do it. But it just makes it. And it's like the first time somebody tweeted out a picture where that they snuck up behind me.
It's
took
funny,
a picture
though.
Of me standing on the box. And I remember I tweeted back and went, holy shit. Nobody told me I was short. Like, I didn't know.
The other thing with you on Twitter is you will occasionally do that. You will get mad at the Minifans who tweet at you.
Once in a while.
Just leave them alone. They mean well.
No, you want me to poke at them once in a while.
I do enjoy that.
Leave them alone. That's not exactly how you live your life.
They all have good hearts. They're well intentioned.
They are dicks.
What do you mean by that?
Most of them are dicks.
In what sense? That they
love you, which is great, and they assume everybody who's not you is the devil.
Okay, I'm not really seeing any problem.
I don't imagine you do. Curtis and Ken Laird in that regard.
Are you happy with your producers right now?
Yeah, I think Ben and Andy are great.
You have no issues.
None at all.
This is a good ship lollipop, is what you're saying.
You hate that, don't you?
Well, I don't believe it.
It bugs the crap out of you that we get along.
You complain about stuff.
Like what?
Anything. I'm not saying show stuff, but just stuff in life. There's no way that you say, I'm 100% happy with my show right now.
Oh, I like
that's
the show.
Not a good
I
sign.
Like the show a lot right now.
Well, what could be better?
It's a good question. I don't know. Because if I could make it better, I'd want to.
Well, what do you see? Is nothing that frustrates you at all? Are you a yeller? Yeah, I've worked with you. You're not a big yeller during the breaks. You know, yell at producers.
No,
you know,
no.
You
know, I don't think it gets you anywhere.
Me too. I've always felt that. Well, I don't. I prove it actually doesn't get you anywhere.
It doesn't. It
feels good, though.
What happens is they then get so flustered in their attempt to try to get what
they
you want.
Something stupid.
They
funny
screw
on
it up.
The air.
It's worse.
But sometimes bad is good.
You yell at Ken Laird about lack of sound, and then the wrong sound gets played.
Well, I will say that's the one thing I don't do a lot of because when I started, I did that, but it's really unfair to turn to a producer and say, can play that sound when you give them no lead in.
Right.
I mean, that's like you're insane if you're doing that.
I do have a working knowledge of what they do on that side, and I know how hard it is to pull things up and to say, hey, Andy, play that. Well, it takes them a little while to find that and pull it up and all that stuff. So I'm with you on that.
No issues with us, with our show? No questions? You got nothing?
I like your show.
No, you don't.
Okay, what don't I like?
I think you get upset when we sort of do the too much navel gazing, and then we attack you guys. I don't think
when you
like
when
that.
When you spend...
Do you like that we attack Felger and Mazur? Do you think we should leave them alone?
No, have at
it. Well, I don't know, because some people say don't mention the competition ever.
Yeah, but see, that was the old diary days.
Right.
Now with the meters, it doesn't matter.
So why don't you... Oh, you've given your reasons why you don't attack them. But
we're not there yet. When we get there...
But Holly said one time, like, much respect to them. He likes them on the air. Were you on the air for that? We play that sound. Do you want to say, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. Did he say it here?
Tony Maserati is good in the radio?
But, you know, I do like him.
Who, personally?
Mas. He's a good guy.
I don't care about that.
Yeah, on the radio, no.
No, I mean, what's he doing?
He is Felger's punching bag.
He's made a deal with the devil. Just do it. And
hey, he's probably got himself a new house out of the deal.
That's probably true.
Might not be a bad deal with the devil.
That's probably true. How long? What's your contract with Nesson? You around for a while?
A couple of years.
So that's not a year-to-year thing?
No.
No, and you and Casey McDonald are kind of the new it couple.
It's a new thing. Yeah,
it's weird.
I'm the grandfatherly type, so compared to her.
Silver Fox.
I had never met her. I'd met her in the building. I'd never worked with her till the other night.
What is your thought on these stations now hiring these girls who look like this? It seems to me to be a great move, and they should hire more girls who look like this.
As long as they're not hiring one to take my job. Well, actually, I think Nesson wanted to do that at one point.
What?
Replace
Sarah
me.
Davis?
With Leah
Hextall. Girl, right?
Yeah. And
what happened to her?
She went back to Canada.
Oh, okay. And everyone's leaving. People are leaving Nesson left and right, right?
It's like a treadmill. See, if we let them swear, I think they'd hang around more.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, perfect. Thank you. Before I let you go, I'm going to ask you this. This is something else I wanted you guys to talk about. If I'm Kirk Minahan,
I make fun of him all the time about this.
And I find out, forget about making fun. If I find out my co-host is doing a show for 15 hours a week at night, I'm saying, what are you doing? Do you give a shit about our show? What are you thinking?
I'm working at night.
Every night?
Not every night.
How many days a year do you work at night?
Well, hopefully if they go into the playoffs deep enough, it's probably
100?
80, 90.
Oh, right. Your home games, right?
Well, I do all the games.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right. 80, 90. Right, right. Not counting the national games and all that stuff. And maybe an occasional thing like you did the other night.
And that's just helping them out because they're
short-staffed. We'll say 90.
Now.
So 270 days you don't. He does this every week for 5 days for 3 hours.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I'm not sure.
But he didn't tell you guys about it before he took it.
He mentioned it to me.
There's a habit here. There's a history here. No, I'm serious. I would say if Jerry did that, I'd say, what are you doing?
All I said to him was, that's a lot of work.
What'd he say?
And yeah, I know, but it's not as bad over there. And it's 4 hours a night. No, it's three.
No, it's three.
It's three. But, you know, they got to get there early and all that stuff. I know how hard it is to do what I do, you know, which is, you know.
The radio or the TV?
No, to do the double. Yeah. The double duty.
Right.
It's hard.
I didn't want to do it. Yeah.
And I don't know how he keeps it up, you know, with what I know to be the rigors of trying to do both things.
And
it's
again,
hard.
This discussion is not worthy to do on the air. I would do it.
I know you would.
But people
there's virtually everything.
But I know you. I know you must have been like, boy, this doesn't seem right to me.
It didn't bother me that he was doing it. I just worried that he didn't have a grasp of how hard it's.
Do you guys have a better or different relationship now than you did the first time?
Probably better.
Better?
Yeah, now.
Right.
You know, now that we've gotten. Because I was pissed off for a while.
By the time you guys were working together before you got this full time, you guys were fine then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Was there any. Before they got Thornton, was there going to be a different third guy or no? Whose idea was that? Graham?
I'm assuming Kevin Graham.
I don't think so. Really? I don't know.
You didn't think he was smart enough to come up with that?
No, I mean...
I mean, that was the impression you were given off, the vibe you were given off.
I didn't remember him making a lot of decisions. I don't know.
Well, maybe Phil told him. Maybe Phil told Kevin what he thought.
Well, I feel like everybody thinks they have to have three people now.
Yeah, that does seem to be the thing.
Yeah, that's probably because of me.
You're rotating your casting couch thing.
Let's hear it.
I think it's a little weak at times.
Go ahead. I'm open to all criticism.
I think that you've got some who are really good, I don't think you get the opportunity to. I thought Reamer was not good at all.
I'm with you.
Every time you guys put Reamer on, it became 4 hours of Jerry asking him about gay guys.
True.
I mean, literally 4 hours of gay stuff.
Makes you wonder.
And that's all he wanted to talk. It's like, well, I've got Reamer here. I must have to talk about gay guys.
Somebody's that interested in the subject. That's open to interpretation.
I think Tomasi's as good as you have now.
Well, I think Tomasi has found his groove. Like you see guys when they figure it out.
Yeah.
They do radio. And like the last month or so or two, he's figured it out.
I think he's challenging you now. And he's
like you said, I told him, I said, I think you could do this every day if you wanted to in a different, you know. But my problem is now is whenever they eventually make moves, whether it's 2 years, 10 years from now. I don't want to lose two of my rotating guys because I feel like they're going to spin off whenever 5-10 years from now, whether I'm gone or you or Glenn or whoever, they're going to get jobs somewhere else.
Maybe. It's possible. That's what happened with Felger, right?
Right. So I don't, you know.
He's one of the rotating guys here, and the next thing you know, he's across the street kicking
Tanguay
your ass.
You like.
Don't even like him at all.
You like Tanguay, you approve of. Okay, good. Mutt?
Yeah. Ask the question if you want. I think Mutt tries too hard to be you.
Oh, boy. Can't you leave Mutt alone for once? You've been on his ass for 6 years.
I think we've gotten past that.
There's only
point.
One Kirk Minahan.
And I think he tries too hard to be Kirky too.
In what way?
The tonality, the things he says, he sounds a lot like you.
So he sounds like an even worse version of Howard Stern.
What, a third one?
Trendy?
Holy crap.
You hate our little, show.
She's a little too crunchy granola for me.
What do you mean?
She takes the liberal perspective to a...
Well...
When she's with you guys.
Right.
You know what? Interestingly enough, I actually find myself listening to her and John on the weekend.
Jesus Christ, you've snapped.
Well, I got... You're in the car. What else are you going to do? I do. I listen
put
to
your,
him.
Put
I,
your head in the friggin'... in the engine.
I don't mind them there.
Okay.
I don't think they're too... And I do think that's helped lead Tomasi to where he is now with you guys. I think he's... Getting the reps, right. Getting the...
But I also think, you know how it is, when you start every day, you start getting a little more attention. And
yeah.
You kind of say, okay, I can actually say this, and it's not a big deal. Because it's that sort of thing at first.
Do you like the different dynamic every day?
Yes. Well, what I do like is there was a power struggle before where you had two different camps, right? Two people on one side, one guy on another side. Mm-hmm. Different ways we want to do the show. Now there's united force, and somebody comes in for a day, they have no... It doesn't matter what they say. You know what I mean?
I will say that now that you've narrowed it down, it's not as bad.
Yeah.
When you had like Mark Dondero in
But I knew, I thought that we were going to sort of be successful because I think, you know, John had a great career, but I think John was at the point where he just didn't want to do it anymore. And I think once we got rid of him, not rid of him, but, you know.
No, that's what you meant, what you said.
Yes. And we got sort of a focused thing and had an idea. I think we were going to be okay. But I agree. But we're always, you know. We've had this conversation with everybody. Tell me the three or four people who are not using that we should use. Who is there?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I mean,
I'm not sure you need a third a lot of the time.
Sometimes we don't. And we know how we can do it now.
I think there are times where the third ends up being clunky.
Right. But, you know, we look at the dailies now. You can focus on
those
until for some reason now have no access to this stuff for some bizarre reason because Charlotte has to.
Because Charlotte gets it now instead of
got
us.
Got me on that. But the days that Jerry and I are alone are the same as the other days, the ratings-wise. There's no difference. I mean, it's all basically the same.
But it's they're convinced you got to have three
people. Well, we kind of like – it's a third – I don't know. I feel like if you don't do it and it does well, they say, well, you don't need it. So then they take it away from you. You know how it is here. They say,
but you end up, you know, in a way with you know, four and five voices. Because you incorporate Ken, you incorporate Chris.
Right. Too many voices, you're saying.
No, not all the time.
You want a little
quieter,
gentlemanly sports.
No, not at all.
I understand.
Not at all.
You want a little more sporty.
It was funny. I had to pick up my daughter at the airport early Monday morning.
Oh, boy.
At 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So when I was taking her home to Bellingham, I got to listen to Sporty R. McKenzie for the entire hour. I thought Sporty was not as good over an hour as he was over a segment.
I think Sporty might agree with that. I think Sporty by about 41 or 42 passes.
Had pretty much sportied it out by that point.
Can we take a long break?
That was the impression I got.
Yes, yes.
I didn't belly laugh as much the second time as I did the first time.
What do you think of Dick from Upton?
I like Dick from Upton.
Do you want Dick to be part of the Dale Hawley and Keefe show?
Oh, hell no.
Well, Dick can't call in?
We don't need celebrity callers.
Oh, here we go.
In fact,
I agree with you on that.
I try to get rid of a bunch of them.
Well, do you,
Albert from Rhode Island is not welcome on our
show.
See,
I like morons.
Yeah, well.
But you have like, but we you have got like Tony to the point, from Bridgewater. I hear him.
Yeah, and I try to cut back on a lot of that
other
stuff.
Than Albert, who is sort of this new creator, like, I hear Craig and Larry, I'd rather stick my dick in a blender than listen to Danny from Quincy for 7 minutes pontificating or these guys. I feel like. For the people in the car, I know what I feel like in the car when I hear that. It's like, oh, you got to be shitting me. This guy?
Biggest mistake, well, not biggest, but one of the biggest mistakes I made over the course of my years here was making a celebrity out of Butch from the Cape.
Yeah, he
and that was my fault.
Right.
And I fell in love with him, and, you know,
he was pretty entertaining at first.
And I'm putting him on the air all the time.
Right.
And then I got this long letter from this state trooper.
Oh, jeez.
And he said, I just thought you might want to know a little more about your new best friend. And he laid it all out chapter and verse, the things that Butch from the Cape had done.
Was as bad a guy as Tom Osborne?
Well.
That was a famous Eddie moment, right?
Yeah, was it ever. And after I read it, I went, you know, there are retired people down in the Cape who lost their retirement funds because of this guy.
He's a bad guy, yeah.
You know what? Maybe I need to stop being so friendly. And it was just, it was a mistake on my part.
I think once in a while, I think like if when I finally force Jerry out, which obviously is going to happen, and I do the show by myself.
October, November.
Yeah, that seems
by the way, doing the show by yourself would be a gigantic mistake.
Yeah, I would do that. But I do wonder sometimes, unless there's something really going, is there a need for callers at all? Do people in the car like to hear callers?
I think that the callers end up being the weakest part of the program.
Unless, I mean, if you get a good caller, you have a good, like that, who'd you have the other day? Shannon? No?
Oh, Shannon.
Something like that is a good caller.
The disabled vet, yes.
How many, I always ask this question, of every 10 callers, how many are good?
One.
Then that's, I think, being
well and
being kind.
To use the analogy, you know, if we were a music station,
right.
Would we want to play 9 really crummy songs and then
right.
play one good one?
Right.
We probably wouldn't be in business very
long. You
sure
wouldn't tease 3 crummy songs coming up heading into the break.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't.
I did notice that Sporty listed all the people who are going to be on the air coming up in a little bit.
As Sporty said, when people, the rest of the people in the car really want to know the names of the
yeah,
people who
yeah.
are going to. That's what I'm thinking.
You know what, Sporty, where he missed his opportunity was you're supposed to say goodbye to them. So
oh,
that,
goodbye,
was,
right.
that was John from Medway. Thank you very much, John.
Well, you're very friendly to the callers.
Nah, not always.
You respect the callers. You appreciate the call.
We
appreciate the call.
We don't say bye to them. We don't do that. Right. Appreciate the call is pretty rare. That's yeah. for the good caller. We don't say goodbye to them.
Right.
They just, you know, they've made their point. We've moved on. We try to quicken the pace a little bit. And
but
you,
do you give a shit if the show's good and you get 3 of you in the middle of a good conversation and you don't have a single call on?
No.
Who cares?
No,
right?
not even a little.
In a way, just get, I think
in
sometimes.
In fact, a lot of times the best radio we have doesn't involve.
Oh, I agree.
It almost never involves a caller.
But there's it's a crutch, I think, for, I don't know if it's generational, or I guess even not. I think it's sort of. You almost want to see 3 or 4 calls so you think people are listening.
Oh, they like me.
Which is stupid because, as we know, it's 0% of the audience effectively calls.
Yeah, it's such a small, minuscule portion. And I try not to get too carried away. Like I said, I think some of the best radio we do doesn't involve callers at all,
all right,
or guests.
You said the Butch thing, so I'll let you go with these two questions. What's the biggest mistake you ever made?
Not taking the Bruins play-by-play job.
You think you'd still be doing it now?
Yes.
Saving us from Jack. What are you playing golf with Andy Brickley in the show or what? You got to be on there this year.
I'm not big enough to be on there.
How good is that show? 1 to 10.
I mean, look, Andy Brickley found a way to monetize playing golf. This is a bad thing. Let's be honest. If we could find somebody who would pay us to go out and play golf, we'd
That's
consider
true.
It.
Yeah, does it have to be with clients or no?
With guests.
Okay, good.
No,
sure.
It's even better.
It's Jim Rice, I guess. So the biggest mistake was not taking the Nesson job. Okay. What is the best show you've been a part of since you've been at EEI?
Poof. It was a long time ago, and it'll make me sound like an old bastard, so I almost hesitate to say it.
What is it?
I had Kurt Gowdy and Ted Williams on at the same time.
When was that? Like 78, 77, 63?
Like I said, it'll make me... No, it was the first couple of years here.
Yeah.
It was the first time Ted had been on the radio in
right.
Boston.
Is that when you were by yourself?
Yep.
When that was 10 to 1 or no? Am I making that
yeah,
up?
Yeah, something like that.
And that was...
Jason Wolf was the producer.
That was the start, right?
Yep.
So the
first couple of years.
So the first was whatever that was in the morning with like Mustard and Doyle and Andy Mose.
No. The first one was Andy Mose, Suzanne Lee, Rob Buttery.
Right.
The worst morning show in the history of radio.
Yeah, it was
and Andy Mose, God rest his soul, was the sweetest, loveliest guy.
Right.
That radio show was a train wreck.
And that was your lead-in.
That was my lead-in.
And then you went
truthfully,
to
and I know you hate to hear this, Don Imus saved this place.
Oh, I have no problem with that. I think that's true.
We would have been out of business
right.
if they hadn't brought Imus in, because they did Mustard and Doyle after Buttery
right.
and all that.
No, but Imus held the fort down before they figured out.
Yes.
Yeah, right. I agree with that.
And stabilized everything, allowed us to get our footing going.
Mm-hmm.
He saved the place.
Do you like Glenn Ordway?
A lot.
You do?
Yeah.
He's doing a good job?
He's a little bit of a fraud. And
please continue.
And I've told him this. Well, he wants everybody else to be a dick, but he wants to be the nice guy standing in the background.
I agree with that 1,000%, Glenn.
You know,
1,000%. I do.
He does this. You know, we need conflict on your show. Really? Well, bring some to yours.
Right. Well,
when was the last time? I mean, what he does is he tries to poke Angry
yeah,
Lou. Or,
right.
You know, and he wants to stand back here and
yes.
titter away.
But you think the show's good now?
Yeah. I think it's real good
You
now.
Think the station's in good shape?
I think the station's in as good a shape as it's been in
since
there was
Jeff
competition.
Right, yeah. And what's that? I mean, did you think that was going to happen? 2 or 3? I'm almost surprised it's happened. It's almost
I thought
miracle.
They were going to go out of business.
So did I.
Yeah, I thought they were done.
Yeah.
When they brought me back on Afternoon Drive, the last book with Salk, I think they said they were 7th
That's
in Afternoon
right.
Drive.
That's probably right. It was a disaster.
And we've been 2nd.
Yeah.
Every book says.
Did you ever deal with Salk or no?
Did I? Oh,
yeah.
Did I? Oh,
yeah.
I thought you said, did I have a deal with
oh.
Salk to come in and screw this whole thing up? No. He was on a couple of, because Nesson used him.
Oh, that's right.
They brought him on a couple of intermissions.
What was that about?
I don't know. I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why he was on with me during an intermission. I didn't. I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. I'm going to talk to this guy this segment.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. I didn't get. You know, look, I thought that Ben's decision was a ill-advised one. I thought the Salk decision was ill-advised.
They learned their lesson.
They were making a bunch of really dumb decisions back then.
And I don't think you can go outside the market here. I really don't.
No.
I think unless you've lived here for 20 years or whatever.
Michael's the closest you've got
to. But he's from here. I mean, effectively now. I mean,
now.
Right.
But when, you know, when he started, he was outside.
That's true.
And succeeded at it. I mean, all of us are New Englanders.
Right.
You know, you don't have to necessarily be from Boston. I grew up in Maine.
No, no,
but you've got to have that New England
sports. And people say that they feel like that's not true, but it just is true. I think
I don't think there's any doubt.
I think it's been proven.
I agree.
All right.
I hate agreeing with you. I hate that.
Well, I think, you know, I'm disappointed that you've been so critical of my show while I've laid off your show in this podcast. You don't like Trenny. You don't like Tangway. You don't like Mutt. You don't like Alex. You like Tomasi. Am I forgetting anybody?
When is the phony baloney Alex suspension end?
Oh, is that the part of the 97% of the fake show that we do?
I didn't put the number on it. Somebody else did.
I know, but you didn't leap to my defense. I keep track. you think I don't have a chart?
Leap to my defense.
You don't think I have a chart?
Because you leaped everybody else's defense, right?
Would I have your back in the time of trouble?
No.
Of course I would.
No, hell no.
Of course I would. If you got suspended, you ever been suspended?
No.
That's probably the dumbest question I'll ever ask.
Yeah, I mean, please.
You ever,
but when
do you ever hear,
when there were other people here suspended, I did sort of leap to their defense.
That's true. But I would say this. Do you ever see like me say something stupid or go nuts? And there's a party that says, you know what? I kind of wish I did that once in a while. That looks almost freeing. Like in a way. You ever say, you know what? I wish I did that.
I've made a concerted effort to amp it up a little.
Right.
To you know, get into more heated discussions, more heated arguments, because listening to you, listening to Jerry, listening to Joey, listening to everybody else, you guys think that helps?
I've tried
to let it go more.
But you can do it. Like if it's bullshit, it sounds like bullshit, but you can actually do it.
Yeah, I couldn't do this fake. You know, I couldn't do that.
Like, I'm trying to think of somebody, but you know when you hear it, big fake. The guy I always think of was Andy Gresh. Like, if I spoke like that, I think I'd last like 20 minutes before I died. Like, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it.
Probably
all
true.
Right, go do your show. I know I'm welcome there anytime.
You come through the door anytime. I've got I've got lots of time now to prepare.
Hey, you got plenty.
John Farrell today.
Oh, John Farrell today.
2:30.
You sit that out? That's Keith's interview, you know. That's what the Midday guys told me.
Yeah, I know.
So there's not a email chain, just a conference call.
We do the conference call at 11:30.
Who's in charge of that conference call? Who's the lead voice? Somebody must talk more than others.
Literally, there is no... Today, Michael talked more at the beginning.
Is there part of times during those conference calls where you just put the phone away like, oh, God, can we just get this fucking
Yeah, sometimes.
Voice? I mean, isn't there the
yeah,
worst?
Sure.
Are they necessary?
I like to be able to kind of get an idea.
A couple of texts sort of do the job?
I'd rather talk to them and, you know.
Yeah, our show's did because we're so
well,
early in the morning.
Well, it's the time of morning. You can't do it.
Would you want to do mornings ever again or no?
No.
You didn't like it?
No.
Did you like filling it? Did you like working with Jerry when you filled in? You did a lot of
people
filling
don't
stuff.
Believe I like him too.
I mean, I know you like him.
You know, we're not exactly alike politically.
Not that far off in some ways, though.
No, in some ways, right. But I'm nowhere near as far off. He's not quite to the Kurt Schilling end of the spectrum, but he's trying to approach it.
Right, he's getting there. He'll get there eventually.
He's in that ballpark.
You mean you worked with everybody during that period?
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of.
Is
choice.
There anybody you didn't like working with?
They had me work with Mutt once. That was a little uncomfortable.
Did you guys really do a show together?
I think so, yeah.
In the middays? Obviously.
I think we did, yeah.
Ooh.
That was a little...
party that's like, are you going to say no to that? I mean, you could have said no to it.
I was in a position where I couldn't say no to anything.
And you and Mutt are okay now?
I hope so. No, I said he's trying too hard to be you. He should be Mutt. Mutt's great. He doesn't have to be Kirk Jr.
But Kirk Jr. is better than Mutt.
Well, Kirk Jr. is getting a hell of a lot more money than Mutt is, so...
Well, I don't know about that.
I think I've heard that. In fact, you're making more money than Callahan too. I think I've heard that as well.
Whatever anybody makes, that's fine. It's not like I keep these totals up on
you. No, it's not like I have a scorecard or anything.
Absolutely not. Well, I hope at the end of the year you get all the riches you deserve. I will say that.
I hope I just get another job.
Will you work on the contract as we speak right now?
They haven't contacted me at all.
That's a bad sign.
Oh, thanks.
I'm just kidding.
I can't wait to go home and tell my wife and kids. We're going to sell the townhouse we moved into when we sold the house, honey.
Move back to Maine. When do you start cooking on that? We're now in August. Let's get moving. Let's get this done.
Yeah, I don't know.
Want me to make it happen?
They always like to I get the sense that it's sort of a corporate philosophy here to put everything off till the last minute.
It's not been my experience.
Bullshit.
All right, go, all right, go to your dopey show. I'll talk to you later.
Dopey show could be the key word.
All right, thanks again for listening to the Enough About Me podcast. Actually, you know what? I'm really not thankful at all. You should be thanking me. You get this shit every week, these great podcasts, totally free. Do me a favor. Would you go to iTunes, download it, go to Stitcher, do the same, and leave a rating, leave a review. That's where you can help me out. This podcast is going to be number one again. I guarantee it. And you're going to help me along with the process. So for that, I guess at the end, maybe I will thank you. There's a lot of thank yous going back and forth. Here's the point. Fuck you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.